It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And so, I told you about the time we saw the turkeys. By the way, there's like six turkeys going by. And we're like, wow, there's this group of six turkeys. And so I rolled down the window and I go, come, 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 come. And they yelled at me. And I started laughing and they yelled at me some more. And I was like, okay, we need to go. They're going to get me. Turkeys are assholes.
Well, they can be mean.
Oh.
A lot of large.
And they're also very sure of themselves. When I worked at the newspaper before, it was right by a park. It was a business building out in the middle of nowhere, where there's like woods and stuff. And there was a wild turkey that decided he owned it. And at certain times of day, it was really hard to get to your car.
Because
that turkey was... I always wonder about this with the big... Like, the turkeys and the... I'm not like... An ostrich would kill me. But, like, turkey, goose, swan, things like this. People get menaced by them.
Yeah.
And I understand in general, you know, it's problematic. I'm like, if it was a real issue, I feel like a three-step running start and a good drop kick... I feel like I would win in a fight with a turkey or a goose or even a swan.
You probably would. I mean, when they get you, it can hurt, but it's not like crippling you or something.
And I'm just like, they weigh a lot less than me.
Yeah.
Like, they're bigger than most birds, but I still feel like I could punt one.
You probably
pretty
could.
Pretty far. Most of them can't fly.
But you don't want to.
No. And that's the thing. When the people are running away from the goose and laughing... Or just being, like, annoyed. But it's the ones that, like, are really terrified. And I'm turn around and kick it once. It will not bug you again. It might not bug you again because you killed it, but it will not bug you again. I don't understand the fear exactly, but turkeys are creepy. I will admit that. Hello, everyone.
Turkeys are creepy.
Like that Shin song. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world we're doing right now. I don't. It's a two-parter. You know how much I hate these. Here's the thing. I can handle just about an hour of William, and then I'm like done. And on top of that, there won't be any video posted. By the way, normally I post whatever video we watch in between. This time we just talked about the book.
Yeah.
And we did it way too long. We did it for like a fucking half hour.
Oh.
So it's gonna be really late tonight.
Sorry.
No, it's great. I absolutely loved it. This is what I've been wanting to do for over a year. We got a little bit more spoilery and shit like that. And he now knows a lot more about future books as well.
It's awesome.
So, yeah. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 350.
350.
Brought to you by the Loch Ness Monster.
I was just thinking of that.
And Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. I love that you remembered that.
I wonder if anybody else does, because that was a long time ago.
It was so long ago. Isaac Hayes was still doing South Park.
$3.50? $3.50.
There was...
The Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, early season, the moment, not even that early, but early enough that I was still watching, seasons of South Park, we met Chef's parents.
Oh, that's who it was? Chef's parents?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not even sure I can fully explain it. And there was a reoccurring joke that the Loch Ness Monster was menacing them for $3.50.
Yeah, something. Did the Loch Ness Monster owe them, or did they owe the Loch Ness Monster?
I don't think anybody technically owed anybody. I think the Loch Ness Monster was just begging for $3.50.
For $3.50.
But it kept being like scary, like, oh, and he's coming to get us. He's like, you mean like $3.50? And then there was because it was mostly all stories of what happened, and there's ones where, like, he disguised himself, and they didn't know it was a Loch Ness Monster until they're like, how much money do you need? And he's like, oh, about $350. Like, get out of here, Loch Ness Monster! Like, yeah, I don't even remember it clearly. Like, I don't think I'm that far off, people, and you're hearing this, so you understand how little that makes sense.
They probably don't even know what you're talking about, because this was a very long time ago.
I mean, I had forgotten that you... Well, because you didn't really watch a lot of
no,
stuff.
No, but I'd go over to my brother's house and he'd make me watch it.
Yeah, that's how you got The Simpsons, too.
Yeah, a lot of The Simpsons I got that way, too. But so when I knew it was good...
You remembered that earlier.
What I knew was going to be episode 350. I said, oh, it's got to be 350. Brought to you by the Loch Ness. But it's also our 7th annual Thanksgiving episode. We
is it?
Are,
oh, my goodness.
We are a American tradition.
This is interesting.
Turkey
talking,
football and the magical talking hat.
By the way, I'm not going to explain how this works. If you don't know how this works, go back and listen to the last episode, because it's kind of a two-parter thing, so check that out. But I was talking in the last episode about needing to do the writing out of love, because the rest, you don't know, and all that. I like to think that I have learned this lesson from the podcast. Long-time listeners, which might just be Azure Talent, I don't know, but will know that, like, on, like, 8 or 9 different occasions on this podcast, I have said, you know what? I've secretly been hoping that this would get big and we'd become famous and stuff like that, but now I'm just comfortable with what we have. And for the record, I always believed that was true when I said it, but then something would happen and, like, oh, maybe something, and I would get that bug again. And... to be fair, I think it has been a few years since that's been a thing. Like, at this point, I 100% know that nothing's ever going to happen with this podcast. Like, never. And so I absolutely appreciate it for what it is. And I still love doing it. But I just appreciate the small core set of fans that we have that listen. And just being able to have these conversations with you. And yeah, people writing in and all that. I just like it for what it is, and it's not even I'm not even at the point now where I'm like, it doesn't have to give it. I'm like, no, it's never going to, and that's fine. And I'm trying to, head that off at the pass with the writing.
Like, yeah.
I would rather not wait to be satisfied with my writing until it was confirmed that it will never go anywhere. I just want to be satisfied with it up front.
Yeah.
And I think I can do that, as long as somebody's reading. Here's what it comes down to. I read a lot as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly early on, third grade, started. I had a teacher. I've talked about this before, Mrs. Duval, who got me into reading because she read a lot of, like, fantasy novels and shit, and she got me into the kid version. So she got me into the Darkest Rising series, Chronicles of Narnia. Chronicles of Brodane, all that kind of stuff. It was a huge day for me. I think I was in 7th grade when I actually came back to visit and I had a book to recommend for her.
Because
I was reading grown-up novels by that point. Mm-hmm. I think it was a Dragonlance book. She got way more into that series than I did. But I love reading. I always have. And it's been very influential to me. And it's so many things, both in terms of artistic expression and to a degree in just life expression and things like that. Certain books, they influence you.
Sure.
And they have, this impact. Oh, this is even just to the degree of this really expands my mind in terms of creating stories. Mm-hmm. Like for role playing stuff. Read the book, oh, this is cool, this should be a game, and we play that game and stuff. And I just want somebody to get inspired like that. And it'd be nice if I could know about it, but I don't have to.
Yeah, right.
And I feel like as long as somebody is reading it and somebody likes it, odds are somebody's going to have that experience. And I'm pretty confident I can write well enough that somebody's going to read it and like it.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that.
Because a lot of you already seem to, and it's still pretty rough.
One of the great things about Black Sails is...
you are really into that show.
It's very good. It's very explicit about how certain characters are successful pursuant to their ability to tell a good story.
Ooh.
It not only do you observe that, it's true, but kind of behind the scenes, two people who are maybe competing for favor talk about how that's true. So it's not, you observe it, and that's fun. But it's even actually fun to hear him talking about
it. Well, I have recently, you know, when I'm trying to sort of focus on, like, you know, what do I want out of life? What am I doing? So this is my drive, I think, now, is stories. Telling and hearing stories.
Yeah.
Big deal. Important question, and you may have to think hard on this one. Which should I watch first? If I'm going to watch an entire one first, Black Sails or Bates Motel?
Oh, man. I knew you were going to ask me that.
I feel like I'm creeping close to starting Bates Motel.
Well, then you should.
But if I have Black Sails available, I could easily just do that. And not because I think it's time for Bates Motel, but because I've run out. Like, I've watched all the big fat quizzes. So I'm like, maybe now I can watch that. Which one first? I'm not saying, you know, I'm on a desert island and I only get one.
I know.
Hopefully we'll watch both, but which should I watch first?
Because
it may take a while for me to watch. It'll take a while for me to watch the first one. It'll take much longer for me to watch the second one.
Whichever one is the most convenient for you to watch right away, then you should.
Okay, that being equal, then. I'd say, oh, look, they both, these DVDs just showed up on my coffee table.
Like, I think, even though I've wanted you to watch Bates Motel for a long time, there is a part of me that wonders if you'll like it.
It recently popped up on a thing of shows that, like, start off kind of crappy, but if you hold on to them, they get really good.
Well, I like them all, but there's a possibility that it won't do it for you. Mm-hmm. I think you will like Black Sails regardless. So, for me, if that were me, I'd say, all right, well, I'm going to watch the iffy one first. For one thing, I might give up on it. For another thing, well, I'd save the best for last. Save the best for last.
I tend to be too, although I'm starting to revisit that because I'm like, so many things can get in the way in between the beginning and the end.
That's true.
But another component here, my boss also is specifically recommending me to watch Bates Motel. And she listens to this podcast. I'm not going to say she knows me as well as you do, but she knows me pretty well, and she knows all the stuff we've said here. And she also is like, you should watch that.
I think you'll like it, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
No, there's no guarantee about Black Sails either, but I feel like
Black Sails is of a genre that it's going to be hard for me to hate it.
Oh, okay.
Like, when I picture, like, if Black Sails was really bad, it's still not that bad. Like, that's the thing. It's got pirates, it's got cool costumes, it's got nudity and sex in it. I'm good. Like, unless there's a lot of really dark, fucked up shit that you're not telling me about, like, stuff. And even, you know, I like horror movies, but I mean, like, really, like, unless there's shit where, like, you're making me sympathize with serial killers and that. Like, how could Bates Motel, I'm like, there could be some fucked up shit in there.
Yeah, that's true.
And in fact, I know some of it already. I've been told. Yeah. But I'm like, that one I understand why you say that. Black Sails, I'm like, if I sit down and watch it, I mean, I could be a little bored or whatever, but I can't find myself, I find it highly unlikely that show I'm going to be like, I can't watch this. I can't do this. Whereas Bates Motel, I think that is a possibility.
Another thing about Black Sails that I'm excited about, if you watch it, is...
You're not finished yet, though.
We've just got 2 episodes left.
Is it a series end? Is it done?
Four 10 episode seasons, and that's it.
Oh, not bad. All right.
And I'm because there's so many characters in it. You know, Bates Motel. It's, you know, there's some characters, but there's so many characters in this. I'm very curious to, like, I think there are certain characters that you're really going to like, and I'm really excited to know if you do like them and how you like them.
Mm.
That's another thing about Black Sails. It's a little different than Bates Motel.
We get raping going on in the Black Sails. Is people's being raped in Black Sails? Do we get a lot of that going on? You know, in forced sexual and unwanted encounters.
Not that you see happen.
I appreciate that.
There's one plot point early in the first season where that's a thing.
Okay.
And there's actually something, for lack of a better term, something interesting about how that comes about.
Okay.
But
it is not an ongoing.
It is it is something
topic. Well, I mean,
it happens. It's something that happens to somebody, and then it's stopped.
Okay. And doesn't end. This is the thing. I'm sitting here. I'm like, this could hit that spot where I'm like, I wanted to watch Game of Thrones, but I couldn't. And suddenly I'm like, I didn't watch Game of Thrones because it was too rapey. And then I'm like, wait a second, this is a pirate show on a premium cable channel. Shit.
It's true. They don't avoid the topic altogether like I would prefer. But it's not the same as you see in other things.
And also, that's still half the rapes from Bates Motel, from what I've heard. So.
Yeah. There's something plot interesting about it besides just a woman. And also, this particular character goes through the entire run of the series, and she's a very interesting character. Okay. So, and actually, now that I think about it, if you watch it and you get through that part, I would be interested to know how you feel about it, because I think it is a little different than what's usually portrayed in these kind of circumstances. Mm-hmm. Right from the very beginning, there are queer characters.
Oh, nice.
And there's a queer character revelation, like in the second season. You weren't aware this character was queer, but then you find out they are. So that's interesting. And well done.
Nice.
I thought. Fabulously done.
All right.
But mostly the writing, the dialogue is just so good.
And that's, I'm a sucker for good dialogue.
Oh, man. And the relationship. And I know you like characters.
A lot of shows based purely on good dialogue and
character development and interaction. Yep. All that's great. I don't know. I mean, it's so good. Sometimes I don't even really notice some of the plot points, even though I think the plotting is very good, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's got my wife and I both excited about reading Treasure Island. Even though, of course, it's going to be completely different.
Yes.
Still, we're going to picture these characters in these roles, and that'll be very fun.
You're going to want to notch those expectations a little bit. I've read Treasure Island.
Well, I like Stevenson, though.
So and then after that, you can watch Treasure Planet.
I have seen Treasure Planet, actually.
And I think there's another one. I wanted to say Titan AE, but I don't think that's a retelling of Treasure Island. But there's a couple others that are, like, weird. It's not as bad as Count of Monte Cristo, but there have been a lot of retellings. Did you know, like, Count of Monte Cristo, I think, is literally, like, wins the award for the most remakes of it.
Oh, really?
Because they're so, yeah. Well, because it goes back as far as, like, I believe the silent movie era, there were versions of it. But there are tons. There's a bunch of sci-fi ones. There's an anime one that I've been meaning to see that was very interesting. Revenge was basically that. There's a few of them.
Okay.
It's one of those that gets retold and retold. I still want to look up the thing Trish was talking about one time. I think Vonnegut did it. That basically proved there's 7 stories.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, I want to see that. Mostly because I feel like that would be a useful tool in my arsenal, as it were. So how will your week be?
Well, I will probably have seen Justice League.
Yep. Aren't you just doing that tomorrow? I mean, real time tomorrow?
Probably over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
And I will have seen it anticipating a lot of things in it that I'm not going to like, because I've read in various sources that we all know that Zack Snyder doesn't have a very good track record with female characters.
Or existing. Zack Snyder doesn't have a good track record.
But in my opinion, and I realize lots of people disagree with me on this point, but in my opinion, Joss Whedon also doesn't have a very good track record with female characters. That's my opinion. A better track record than maybe a better track record than Zack.
But when
I found out
Cat has a better track record with female characters than Zack Snyder.
I'll just say back in the day when they thought he might do Wonder Woman, I was not happy about that.
Yeah.
A lot of other people were, but I wasn't.
Well, and if it is to be believed out there, I've seen what that script looked like.
And a lot of people. But I was not surprised by that at all.
Yeah.
I wasn't
surprised. Unfortunately, a few years ago, I would have disagreed with everything you're saying. I no longer do.
And I'm not happy to know that he's going to be handling Batgirl at all.
Yeah.
So when I knew he was going to help with Justice League, there were two problems I was going to have with it right off the bat. One was, I wasn't confident that he was going to do Wonder Woman right, but also, he has this tendency in storytelling to take an emotionally loaded moment, and right when you should leave it so that the audience can sort of feel it, he puts some joke in there to disarm thing, and it messes it up.
Yeah. He also does the opposite a lot, where you're perfectly lighthearted and then suddenly, bam, tragedy.
Yeah.
He likes the surprise.
So
he likes emotional jump scares.
I wasn't confident that he was going to do it right. And so now what I understand is that in terms of how Wonder Woman and maybe women in general are handled in the film, you have the worst of both Snyder and Whedon.
And that's the thing. When I just stopped to think about it, they're also oil and water. Like, there's never a collaboration of Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon that wouldn't be a hot mess.
Well, some people, it's weird. You've got some people saying, well, it was pretty seamless. But then you have other people say, oh, no, you can tell where Whedon's influence is and Snyder's influence is.
And also, Whedon did enough punching up of the script. I believe he's on the written credit.
Yeah, he is.
But yeah, I have heard, and they're trying to Marvel it up. So they're trying to be funny.
Which I don't like.
And I've heard that there's sort of...
Yeah, but like, several times...
Yeah, it's all the shit you hated about Batman vs. Superman and the shit that annoys you about the MCU. I've heard it's like all together here.
Several times I've heard people complain about how, like, there's this one shot where a character's talking and the camera's behind Wonder Woman who's talking to them. Not over the shoulder, not behind the head, right next to her butt, basically. And that's what's in the shot while this person's talking.
Yeah, of course.
All the male characters have to hit on her at some point or indicate their attraction to her at some point. It's like, really? I mean, of course, again, I knew that was going to happen, but I didn't realize it.
And you know how I was about Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And they heard that because it made all of the money.
Yep.
And they started up in the game. They're like, we're going to write Wonder Woman a bigger part. We're going to stick Amazons in here. Going to be a bunch of Amazons. And I'm just like, shit, I might have to see that. Might have to see this movie. Can I, like, ignore the other parts? Can I, like, cover my eyes? But I might have to. And I was like, I don't know. We'll have to see. And then I just saw the side-by-side shots of the Amazons, which may even be the same actors. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's such a small thing, and it's such an obvious, like, the male gaze is just on it. Their armor is the stupid fucking bikini armor that's in everything, and their entire midsection, you know where the organs are, is bare.
Well,
and as soon as I saw that, I was like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much Wonder Woman or Amazons are going to be in this movie, because they're going to fuck it up like everybody did before Wonder Woman.
Well, now, when those pictures first came out, I thought, okay, well, this isn't in context or anything. I'll judge when I see the movie. But a lot of people who've seen the movie say that, okay, maybe
that's a hard sell.
Maybe the armor.
What is the context? It's like, oh no, Amazons draw sunlight energy from their
bellies. No. Like because there were some. They showed
that's
someone,
just what they wear for the Christmas.
Someone else
pageant.
Showed production stills from Wonder Woman where they looked like that, but it was in a context of like they were lifting weights or something. Like, you know, women in the gym will just wear a, I don't know what they wear. But so it was a
Williams
different.
Never been to a gym. In his life.
No, it was a different context. But so I thought, well, I'll still reserve judgment until I see it. But people who've seen it are saying, oh, they're more glammed up. They're more.
Yeah.
Their armor's not as right. And so I know there's.
To me, that was just it was just so because that's the thing. That's also clearly not a production still. Like that was a PR shot.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm like, the fact that you think.
Oh yeah, that's what
we need.
Yeah, that's what they picked to be in that.
Yes.
Yeah, that photograph.
I'm like, it's not here and. Like, I just hate Zack Snyder so much. Like, I can't even promise you that if he made a good movie, I would admit it was a good movie, because I just fucking hate him.
Oh, no, I don't think he's a good director. I mean,
no,
I don't know why anyone does think. I mean, the visual stuff, fine, but.
Well, actually,
he's really bad at telling a story.
This article I read that was like, otherwise shitty directors who do one thing good.
Yeah.
And they said of Zack Snyder, he is really good at visually bringing you up to speed on backstory. And the example they had was the pre-credit sequence in Watchmen, and I will admit, that's fucking awesome. That was an awesome sequence. He's really good at that, which is so not, like, a major part of what he does, but it is a thing that he's really good
at. But he is bad at everything else.
He is bad at everything
else. Everything else. And, but there was a, there's a certain movie critic slash news person who I watch who's pretty good, and she said she had a very reliable inside source. She, at first, when she saw the film, she blamed Snyder for all the bad female stuff, because that's Snyder. But she heard from a very reliable inside source that, oh no, at least half of that was Whedon.
Yeah.
Just about, there's a sight gag where, in fact, he did the same thing in Avengers, they said, where someone fell into Black Widow's cleavage or something, and there was an awkward moment.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard Aquaman stumbles into Wonder Woman's
Flash or
boobs.
Somebody, yeah.
Yeah, no.
And, so, no, but that's all, that wasn't Snyder's idea, that's all Whedon.
Oh, no, go ahead.
And not just that, but this was interesting. this person asked, why did she let that happen? And she said, oh, it wasn't Gal Gadot, it was her body double. Because in that scene, she's looking away or whatever. So Gal Gadot didn't even necessarily have to sign off on that. But there were other things, other inappropriate things that Gadot clearly was there for. No, and it's like, why didn't she say anything?
Don't get me wrong. I do believe that Joss Whedon thinks he's a feminist. I genuinely believe that.
I
also think he was savvy enough to realize that he's one of the few male directors out there who openly talks about being feminist, and that gets him a lot of cred. And he has done some things that other directors didn't do with female characters when he started, that's good for diversity's sake. It's turned into cliche, and he's clearly got some underlying issues.
Well,
and
here's the thing.
It's one of those, like, of course, I support women. I love women. It's that he clearly loves women.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I laughed before. Here's the thing about whether or not he's a feminist or not. I don't care about that. I mean, I think everyone should be a feminist.
He is poor at putting it to action.
But I'm not arguing about whether or not he's a feminist. If he says he's a feminist, fine, he is one. That's not the point. Because here's the thing. All men, including myself, who are feminists, it's going to be probably a lifelong struggle for us to figure out just how sexist we really are. And I don't perceive him making very much progress on that front. Now, maybe he is, but it doesn't look like it based on his work.
He's been lauded too much. I mean, we'll see what happens now that public opinion on that is starting to turn a bit. We'll see what happens. But he was lauded too much. I think he started buying his own hype. Well, in fact, I heard his acceptance speech of something, and he clearly was buying his own hype.
Well, some women's group gave him an award for strong female characters or whatever.
Why do I keep doing this? Because you keep asking the question. Yes, I remember. In fact, at the time, I was really inspired.
But here's the thing. My wife and I watched Man of Steel and Batman v Superman recently again.
And you're getting a divorce.
No, here's the thing about it. Okay. This is what I realized. A lot of people hate those movies, myself included.
Myself included, and I haven't even seen them.
And a lot of people love them, and the people who love them for the same reason that this group hates them, basically.
Okay, I just would like to say, I do feel like a lot should be in quotes.
Okay, in quotes.
But yes, a lot of people.
I'm just saying
maybe
that...
people should be in quotes.
I'm just saying that if... Before I rewatched these two films, the reason I would have given for not liking these movies is the same reason this other person would have given for liking it, basically. After watching these two films, I think both groups are wrong.
I have an incredulous look on my face.
It doesn't make the films better. It kind of makes them worse, even. But here's what I mean. Most people who don't like these two movies think that Zack Snyder hates Superman, and so he's betraying him in a horrible way, kind of like Frank Miller, who openly has admitted he hates Superman, and that's why he made Superman a government stooge in his stories.
Yeah.
Totally scandalizes Superman in his stories. So most people think that Zack Snyder feels the same way, and that's why he's made such a crappy Superman. That's what I thought. And also, there doesn't seem to be any... It seems to be he just wants this go boom, that go boom, and just barely stitching it together with the slightest little bit of story. Mm-hmm. So that's garbage. And, of course, the people who like it, they... probably agree that Zack Snyder hates Superman, but they think that makes the story interesting, and I guess they're not worried about there being anything else but things going boom. What I discovered watching these films again was that I don't think Zack Snyder does hate Superman.
I would agree, and having not seen the films.
And the Superman I saw after watching these a couple times was actually the version of Superman and Clark Kent that I like.
Okay.
Actually. So why did I not realize that before?
Yeah.
Because it buried in crap, basically, right?
In this going boom?
Well, that, but also, okay. This is what I realized, and maybe I'm wrong about all this, but this is what I'm going to say. This is what Snyder is doing. He's a big fan of Ayn Rand, right?
I didn't know that. That makes a lot of sense.
But he is. And so this, I think, is his Randian version.
This also fits into my theory, which I'll get to later.
This is his Randian vision of how this should be. The fact of the matter is, and I didn't realize this before, but you might know that Ayn Rand has a big problem with the concept of messiahs and saviors. They just make people weak.
Yes.
And in fact, weak people make them up so that they can control other weak people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And so for a long time, I thought, well, he scandalizes Superman because Superman's like a savior, a messianic figure, so he scandalizes him. But it's not really so much that Ayn Rand dislikes messiahs, because messiahs don't exist. She dislikes people making them up and being weak to make them up and being weak to believe in them. So what Snyder's really doing is saying, well, let's see what would happen if we had a real messiah. He wants you to think of Clark and Superman as good, strong, just like the comic books say. And part of the problem is that, and I didn't realize that's what he was doing. Okay, part of the problem is Superman also often is scowling and glowering and sad all the time. And you don't know why. And so if you don't like that kind of Superman, you just fill in the blanks and you say, well, I guess because Superman hates people or something, and I don't like that kind of Superman. And the people who don't like Superman already say, oh, I like that Superman. That makes more sense, because I don't know why they think it makes more sense. But there is a reason why, which I finally figured out. In the first film and the second film, it's two different things, and that they're actually interesting things, but Snyder screws it up and doesn't tell the story in an interesting way. In the first film, there's an actual ethical dilemma here where, well, you know stories where someone says, well, we can't let people know they're aliens because people will be committing suicide and people,
all this
stuff. Well, that's the problem. If Clark exhibits his powers, then that's going to lead people to realize that there's intelligent life, and not just any intelligent life, superior intelligent life out in the universe. That could cause such an upheaval in culture that millions of people would die. Should he save one person, which would result in millions of people dying in social upheaval? That's actually an interesting ethical question.
Can you say it in Kevin Costner's accent?
No. That's actually an interesting ethical question, but the movie it just didn't come through.
Because he died almost immediately.
Well, because Zack Snyder's a horrible storyteller. That's why. But that's, whenever you see Superman or Clark being sad or whatever, that's what he's thinking about. But when he's not thinking about that, he actually smiles and he's having a good time, and he's the Superman that we all kind of wanted to see.
Speak for yourself.
And so
I also hate Superman.
Well, I like Superman, but anyway. By the end of the first film, though, the aliens come, and of course they are superior aliens that are trying to totally change the Earth, and so now that ethical problem is gone. In the second film, the ethical problem is, okay, so now that people know that they're aliens and that's not Clark's fault, should he save people? How does he decide who he saves and who he doesn't save? I mean, isn't he playing God or whatever? Another really interesting ethical question that Snyder doesn't explore very well because he's a horrible storyteller.
Yeah.
But the Randian point he's trying to make here is, here, I'll give you a story where there's a real flesh and blood messiah who I'm going to present as good and strong. Not all powerful and all good, but more or less.
Yep.
And let's see what happens. the point he wants to make from a Randian perspective is, see how crappy all of the humanity becomes because of the existence of this being. See what I'm saying?
I do. I don't think he makes the argument very well.
No, he doesn't. But that's...
Because John Galt has to show up with a goddamn kryptonite spear and ruin everything.
Well, okay, so...
That's the thing. I don't think he makes the argument that things are shitty until Batman helps make them shitty.
Well, he does sort of. Like I say, he's very bad at telling a story. But I think this is what he's trying to... And Batman is supposed to be the Randian hero. But he's flawed because...
He's the Randian hero.
Well, anyway. No. The Randian hero wouldn't fight with Superman because Superman's not a threat.
No, and Superman's also... The only thing that keeps Superman from being a Randian hero is that people are looking to him as a messiah.
Right, exactly.
Like, Superman is super self-actualized.
Yeah, right.
And, like, you know...
Right. So he shouldn't be fighting Superman. Superman's not a threat, and he could even be an ally.
They should both be making their own empires. And yeah.
So even though Batman's a Randian hero, he is making a mistake. But then he gets over his mistake, right? But the real... No, but the... But
he gets over his mistake in that he loves everybody who loves people named Batman.
But you get what I'm saying.
I do. But, I'm just saying this is...
But in...
You might be giving Zack Snyder too much credit.
No.
Even as you are decrying him.
No, I'm not. Because eventually what he has to do... What he has to do to complete his story is Superman has to die. And for him, the best ending is for Superman to stay dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is always the fucking case.
But what that means
what's
is
killing MCU right now is nobody fucking stays dead.
I don't think he realizes is, I think he also wants Lex to be a bad guy, like a real bad guy. But Lex is the most quintessential Randian hero in the whole thing. Yes. But I don't think Zack Snyder knows that.
Given how he came off in that movie, I think you might be right.
So. I thought it was so interesting.
Lex just came off as basically psycho.
Right. But Lex was...
No, the real Lex Luthor is absolutely an Ayn Randian hero.
Well, but again, he was also in the film, too. But I don't think Zack Snyder realizes that. I don't think Zack sees... Because if he did, he would know how messed up Ayn Rand and objectivism and all that stuff really is. Because it's messed up.
But I've known other people who have gone... But I forget what the actual philosophy is called.
Objectivism.
Okay, there we go. Other people who have made stories of objectivism... Like, who are big objectivist people have made much better stories.
Well, no, that's true. That's true.
So not all that. But no, my theory... And you're going to think this is glib and this is a joke, and it's not. I'm 100% serious about this. And it encompasses all of this. Feelings about Superman, the love of Ayn Rand... The love of things go boom. All the issues with women. Zack Snyder's a teenage boy.
Well, yeah.
No, I mean, dead on. That's because
but he
even teenage me, if I had made a movie, it might have looked a lot like Zack Snyder. Not entirely. I was still not quite as much of a shithead as Zack Snyder.
He admits this about himself because when he...
Well, he sort of does.
No.
He likes to say how he's playing with those ideas and subverting them and
bullshit.
Well,
no, when he made Sucker Punch, he came out right out and admitted, this is my 11-year-old or 12-year-old boy fantasy
while
or whatever.
While simultaneously saying it was also satirizing 11, 12 years. And
I suppose.
You can't have your cake and eat it too, motherfucker.
Right.
And that's the thing. And he's not... That's the moment when he said that was his only true moment. And everything's like... He loves Watchmen the way a teenage boy does. He loves Ayn Rand the way a teenage boy does. He loves superheroes the way a teenage boy does. Like, no, he is... He understands concepts, he understands women, he understands politics the way a teenage boy does. He is confident that he has a crystal clear vision the way a teenage boy does. He's a teenage boy.
No, yeah, you're right.
So much. And that's the thing. I was a teenage boy, and I was not too dissimilar from him, and I hate and am ashamed of that so much. And so basically, he's my teenage self, and fuck that guy.
Well, I think, I bet... He was totally shocked when fans of Superman said, this isn't my Superman. Because he probably thought, well, what do you mean? didn't you hear people say he stood for hope? And didn't you hear people say this? And didn't you hear... people said those things, yep. But they didn't see them.
Yep.
And he probably thought the people who were celebrating, we like our mean kind of... I think I saw an article today that called him a malevolent Superman. He was probably surprised by those comments. Like, what are you talking about? My Superman was a super nice, happy guy, and he was only sad about specific things that Superman would be sad about. He just didn't get it.
Yep.
He had no idea.
Fuck that guy.
That what he did wrong.
Also, probably. You know what? Teenage boys make 3-hour movies that don't have to be 3 hours long. It's another thing. He can't fucking edit himself.
Well, another thing that Ayn Rand doesn't like is hope. Hope is for weak people, for parasites, whatever, impoverished, morally impoverished people. But that, I know this is going to sound corny, but that is what Doomsday at the end of Batman v Superman symbolized, is hope. And how it's got to die if you're going to move forward. Okay. And the
you need to stop saying this argument to people, because I feel like you're legitimizing Zack Snyder too much. Even though
I think it's terrible.
He's wrong, and he did it badly. This is still too cogent for him.
No, I don't think so.
Doomsday symbolizes something badass that can fight Superman. That's what Doomsday symbolizes.
No, it symbolizes hope, because you try to kill it, that just makes it stronger. But you try to kill it, and that's hope, right? The more hope you put into it, the worse it gets.
Doomsday's backstory is so fucked up.
And then Superman, the other symbol of hope, has to destroy him.
Have you
seen, obvious.
I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with, but have you actually seen any of the comic stuff for Doomsday's
origin? Some of it.
It's so fucked up. Yeah. Like, to the fact that it's like really entertaining, because I'm like, this is so cartoonishly horrific. I love this. Let's keep making a baby and throw it out and watch it get killed, and then make it again. Let's just
it's like
stoner scientists sitting around. It's like, let's just make a baby.
Yeah.
Let some wolves eat it. Oh look, it finally got big enough to take on a wolf. Okay, what happens now? Oh look, pterodactyl. Okay, make another one. Like, it's just hilarious to me. Yeah, how'd you make this badass? We just killed a baby like a billion times.
Yeah, it's horrific.
But just such a wacky degree almost. Almost. And especially because, and it's another one of those things that's like, you don't know how genetics work. It's like when it's like, as much as I love the Assassin's Creed series, every once in a while I have to be like, yeah, genetic memory, yeah, what the fuck? It's the same thing. It's like, not how genes do their thing. It's not how evolution is.
Well, anyway, by the end of it all, I appreciated Henry Cavill's Superman more. But I actually like the movies even less than I did before. Even less.
Because you're like, oh, wait, there was actually a goal here. Oh, and it failed.
Yeah, it's an awful, awful goal. Like,
wait, so you were trying harder than I realized and failing even more.
Exactly.
That's the thing. It's one thing to be like, oh, you just don't know what you're doing. It's like, no, wait, you had a plan, and you were just bad at it. Oh. Are we still? Okay, good. Sorry, the computer went to sleep and it paused things for a second, but it's even on the same recording. Okay, good. All right. There's a segue from this. I do want to talk about something for a minute
that
has been bugging me. I should say, by the time this airs, the day after, I'm going to go see Thor Ragnarok, day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
As a family, we're going to see him. I'm very excited about that. Even though I was worried because I don't like the Thor movies, and I was pissed that this was making me excited for it, but reviews and stuff make it sound like it's the movie that it looks like it is, and that's what I want, and I'm happy.
We might see it. I don't know when.
I have been recently, at recording time, I have been going through some days of wrestling with a lot of depression. There have been a variety of reasons, and at the end, actually, I was getting out of it, and then just a bunch of shit went wrong at once. My wife got really sick. My credit card information got taken, shit like that. And I was like, this was my day to get my shit back together. But
that's how it goes.
And there are a lot of factors. Dealing with my first negative criticism on the book has been tough and stuff like that. But one factor that's also been hitting me, we're in a climate right now where it's looking possibly like sexual harassment and assault might actually suffer consequences in our society now.
Sure, in the short term, anyway.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, maybe this will lead to something. We don't know that yet, but something's happening.
Yeah, so we'll see what it is. Something is happening,
and I love what's happening.
Yeah.
and I want it to continue happening, and I want the potential world that I see at the other side if this continues. I have also been made aware, just as you were talking about, I am a male. I self-identify as trans, but let's be honest, I live my life and interact with people, and was raised as a male. I am an imperfect feminist, and there are times when I miss stuff, and there are times where, oh, I didn't think about it that way, right, and it was harmful and stuff like that. And I want a feminist society. I want the world that could form out of what is happening right now.
Right.
I am nevertheless scared about living in that world, at least to begin with, because I'm gonna fuck things up. And that's the thing, is because we live in a shitty patriarchal world right now, my mistakes that I know I make aren't necessarily as damaging to me. Like,
to you, personally.
Yeah, I don't get... And I'm like... I'm scared that I'm not going to know how to live in that world. As much as I want to live in that world,
yeah.
And in no way does this change me from my goals of trying to make that happen.
Sure, sure.
But I've been dealing with that a little bit too lately, and that's a fairly new thing for me.
Mm.
To be like, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what to do. I absolutely want to do. And it's not I don't want to get in trouble. It's, no, I want women to be able to live their lives and be as empowered and as free and as comfortable in their lives as men are, and yeah, and as valued, and I want them to have equal weight, equal ability, equal authority, equal, you know, I know there's a whole big thing about, oh, we should treat men and women the same, but there are differences in experience that need to be acknowledged, and so it's not the same, but it's fairly... Well,
just till we get to a point
fair,
where everyone's treating...
Let's just do fair.
We're just treating everyone like human beings.
Yes, yes. And but I absolutely want that stuff, but I'm aware that I was not raised into that, and that I am in the patriarchal class, essentially.
Yeah, right, right.
And that there's stuff in the back of my brain that's going to fuck it up, and I'm a little bit scared about what that will reveal about me, even just to me.
Mm. Yeah. That's
something. Well, I've even done, just on love of all these fucking sexual molesters, and don't get me wrong, like, I am losing some friends over people talking comparatively. Like, oh, what Louis C.K. did was bad, but we can't compare it to, like Bill Cosby, and like, oh, if I like this person, that, you know, there's a lot of, you know,
yeah,
sexual harassment is terrible until it's from somebody that you like,
or, yeah,
and it's pissing me off.
Yeah.
But I will admit, I have read some of the apologies, and some of the, in air quotes, apologies.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have read them and been like, good job. And then later, people have pointed out how it was really not a good job.
Oh, yeah.
And I have agreed with them, and I've been like, God damn it, what was I... Oh, how did I miss that?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just sort of the start of it for me.
Yeah.
And things, and just so many things that I'm like... Some guy says something, and I'm like, I get that, why that's wrong, but that's a fairly recent realization. There have been a lot of people who have been quibbling over what different crimes were and things like that, mm-hmm, and I'm just like, not the point, and not the time. There have been a lot of niggardly arguments. You know, I've talked about this before. This is my new term. I love this term.
That's a good use of that term.
Yes.
Very good use.
It's the people who come out and get mad that people get mad about them using niggardly, and how it has nothing to do with the N-word, and that is absolutely true, but you didn't use the word niggardly except to get people to freak out so you could tell them you're the wrong one, it has nothing to do with the N-word. Yeah. You weren't just like, you know what, I really need... Niggardly is the only appropriate word here.
Right.
Nobody did. And it's the same thing. It's like, we call, like, I've been seeing it today, the definition of groping and stuff. And I'm just like, or like, you know, technically, Louis C.K. says he always asked. And I'm just like, and people were like, I want to wait and see what Pamela Adlon has to say. Pamela Adlon is somebody, is a good friend of his, worked with him a lot. She now has a show called Better Things that he executive produced. She played his wife on his first show, Lucky Louie, that a lot fewer people saw, but we saw something like that. And he's like, I want to see how she takes on this because she is a woman. And I'm like, no. I mean, fine to find out, but that's not how you determine it. And you certainly don't balance out the crime versus what they've contributed to society. That's not how it works.
Right.
And the fact that that's there, and the fact that I know that, but I didn't always know that. I'm like, what else don't I know, and what damage am I going to do before I learn that? And that's been freaking me out.
Well, these are good questions, though. Everybody, I mean, everyone should ask.
And I mean, there's, but there is no good answer. The answer is, keep your fucking eyes open as best you can.
Yeah.
Be careful. I am working really hard to not draw too much attention to myself, and rather to try and pull people's attention to other people, mostly women, and what they are saying.
Sure, sure.
My Twitter has been much more active. A lot more of it is retweets than anything else, more than it ever used to be. Because that's the thing. I've had multiple times now where I started to form a tweet, and I was like, I'm not getting it right. Other people have said it better. This isn't useful. And I've deleted it.
Yeah.
And so, but I mean, that's it. You just got to do your best and go from there. And you made a good point earlier, the whole idea that you have to understand that you still have a ways to go, and you will always.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's true in life. Well, the wise man knows he knows nothing. It's that kind of
but
thing.
But you also have if to you ever, make like an effort, though, too. I mean, you can't just be stuck where you were 10 years ago.
But they go hand in hand. Every fucking time I hear somebody say, or type, let's be honest, I'm not racist, I'm immediately done with you. Your statement is wrong.
Well, or at least you don't understand how racism works, to say that. Just
well,
to make a blanket statement that, like
well,
that.
Well, and it's not true. There's nobody in the world who's of any ethnicity or anything who's not racist. There are components involved in society and one's upbringing that, and just the basic human concepts of other that are going to make you make some misconceptions like that.
Yeah.
And to say, I would never, it's so easy to say, I would never intentionally be racist, or I try never to be racist. Just saying, I'm not racist, which some people who I very much admire have said that, shows a fundamental lack of understanding that I think is dangerous and, frankly, racist.
Yeah, it's dangerous, for sure.
And it's any of those versions, and so help me if I hear one more time somebody's like, that is not what I'm like. Like, no, you fucking said it. It's what you're fucking like. Knock it off. There's a lot of debate over whether Al Franken should resign. I don't know. I'm not in a position to make that happen, so I don't know. But I will say his...
response.
His second response.
Oh, is there a second one? I only know the first one.
No, I think the one you're thinking... Well, he did one first that was not very good.
Where he said it was clearly supposed to be a joke or whatever?
Yeah, and it wasn't funny or whatever. Yeah, that one sucked. No, he later... Are you kidding? He did an official one... where he specifically requested an ethics investigation on himself.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He wrote a better one. And it's, first of all, it says I'm sorry several times. And it very much, there's pretty much no excuses in it.
Hmm.
He's like, this is how I was thinking. I've had similar things. He even says, like, I've written lots of jokes and things that at the time I thought was hilarious, and I now realize were really offensive for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, does not excuse what he does. There need to be consequences. That's what I say about all of these. I'm not like, arrest so-and-so, or put so-and-so to death, or they have to lose their job. I'm like, there need to be consequences. I am not the person to determine that. There absolutely need to be consequences. But I feel like his second apology was good. And I'm nervous saying that, because I'm like, somebody tomorrow is going to be like, did you notice this? I'm going to, oh, that asshole. But I'm like, no, I feel like...
I didn't see a second one.
I mean, and there have to be consequences, and you have to walk the talk forever now.
No, yeah, right.
And I'm still pissed off at him. And I wrote a thing, because I wrote a tweet where I was like, as a former Oregonian who lived through Bob Packwood, I just want Minnesota to know it's going to be okay. You just got to get the fuck rid of him, and we know you guys weren't, it wasn't your fault. Go from there. And I still feel like, you know, There's something there, because it makes me uncomfortable that he's in a position of governmental power. And you know, maybe he's learned his lesson.
Well, I mean, I'm glad his second one was better.
Yeah.
But his first one was so bad. There's no real excuse for him not to have known that would be the bad wrong thing to say.
I'd say it was so bad. It was bad, but I've just seen so many worse recently.
I know, but it was bad. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I thought when he was called into account, he would do better. And I was surprised by how bad it was.
I think a lot of these first ones are sort of hot takes that they hope they can just sweep it under the rug quick.
Just the hope of that, though.
Yeah. Well, and see, this is the thing. Like, I originally thought Louis C.K.'s statement was good. I am horrified by that fact now. Well, going back and seeing it, I'm like, no. But this is the thing. Like, originally, I was like, oh, this is good. You know, he's admitting he did wrong. So many of them are like, sorry, you're offended, or a lot of, and actually, Al Franken had a little bit of this, although he got rid of it for a second, but the whole, that's not how I remember it.
I don't remember that happening.
God, fuck
and
you.
Then this was in poor taste, but it was clearly meant as a joke. It's like,
yeah,
so
doesn't help.
You're just not getting it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really bad.
Like, who would have guessed that groping somebody in front of a bunch of other people while they were unconscious wouldn't be funny?
Or just pretending to, even. I don't know if he even made contact.
People have a lot of debate over whether or not he's touching in that picture. And you're right, it doesn't matter. But I also totally think he's got his hands on her. But I was overjoyed today because I got to watch the little video of Drake doing a concert and literally stopping the whole show to point out a guy in the audience and say, fucking stop touching those girls or I'm going to come out and kick your ass.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It was so heartwarming. I normally don't approve of violence, and it is maybe fortunate, I don't know. You didn't ever get to see who the guy was because the crowd was good, but it was beautiful. I was like, no way. He was like, stop the music. Stop it. I am not playing around with you. And I was like, that's more of that needs to happen where there is not a pause. And I realized the other day I had been having a conversation with somebody about Louis C.K., and I basically stopped the conversation because I didn't think it was work and I didn't think it was appropriate. And later I realized I essentially had done it. I had not spoken up on it.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I found that employee.
Talk to the person later, yeah.
And that's really bad because now I have major issues with that employee. We have so little time. Look, quick, grab something, or else we're going to look terrible. I think this episode is going to be called Turkeys Are Creepy. I'm not sure what the first episode might just be called Odd Wings, because let's be real.
It'd been 2 weeks since we got together, and then we're doing two in a row, so.
Yeah.
Craig again, what?
Oh, we get so much Craig. No, he's still very active and involved in listening to the show and all that. I'm not surprised by this.
What do you think will be the end of the current superhero franchises?
Oh my god, I have been wondering the fuck out of that. Because as much as I enjoy, I mean, there's the whole, you know, they don't often do it right or whatever, but they're getting better in places and stuff like that, and I can't enjoy it. I'm also like, we've had so many. I feel like we have wrung everything we can for now, set it aside for a decade. Then maybe revisit the genre.
That's what they should do.
Yes.
I don't know if they will do
yes.
that.
Yes, no, but that's the thing. So, but consequently, I focus a lot on what might the end of this be? I don't know. To me, more, they seem to be getting broader. And they seem to be getting, to me, it's a very dystopian thing. I think they're just going to get more and more of them, and they're going to be broader and action-y more, and more black and white morality, and they're just sort of to pacify the masses. We're just going to watch Punch Man beat up Evil Man, and there'll be some buildings. And like, I don't know that it'll ever stop.
I mean, I think Feige has a plan.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They have a plan up to a certain point.
Yeah.
Which is somewhere around Avengers 4.
Infinity War or something.
Part 2. No, Infinity War is the next one, and then what they originally called Infinity War Part 2, and now it's not that, it's just
Secret Invasion,
Avengers 4
maybe?
Or something. Well, and there was going to be an Inhumans movie and all that, which, by the way, Inhumans sucked. But anyway, that's the plan. That's how much they have planned out. They are not talking about stopping after that. They just haven't figured out what's going to happen next.
Well, and DC's just getting started. Everything was going to be determined by how well this Justice League movie did, which it's not going to do. I mean, it'll do well money-wise. It might even make $1 billion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's the critics aren't liking it. Yes. So I don't know what their decision from this point forward is going to be. I think Ben Affleck wants to stop doing these.
He very much does want to stop.
So he
wants to get out of being Batman, but that's easily done.
A lot of people think Flashpoint, because in the DC world, the Flashpoint Flash story, called Flashpoint, involves something Barry Allen does that changes the timeline.
I don't know if they can... Well, I don't know. They've hinted at that in Batman v Superman, but... Well, it's a very big thing that we're not connecting this to the Arrowverse, right?
Oh, yeah, it's not connected.
Because the Arrowverse has basically done Flashpoint.
Yes.
I know this because recently, just for funsies, I read all the Wikipedia shit on Legends of Tomorrow, which forced me to go read shit on Flash and Green Arrow and stuff, too, because there's so many crossovers. And they've done it in pieces, and they've done it a little bit different, but they've done Flashpoint.
Yeah.
And they hint at it in Batman v Superman with the whole, you know,
sort of
find Lois and Lane, wait, I'm too soon there. I was going to say I think that would be smart, but I don't know that I do. I don't know that I'm a fan of that.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if they decide, look, we need to reset the whole thing and we're going to use Flash to do that because...
Yeah, but they could... There are so many cooler ones sitting around. Why don't they fucking do Kingdom Come or something like that?
Well, I mean, maybe they will, but what I'm saying is... If they want to keep some semblance of the continuity, starting with Man of Steel or whatever, but they want some kind of narrative reason to replace Bruce Wayne with someone who looks different, that's what they'll do, kind of deal.
That's true. Gotham's not tied to either continuity,
right? It's not tied to anything. It's just its own thing.
Because I feel like... I'm still not watching Gotham, and I still don't intend to watch Gotham. But I'm more a fan of that idea of, here's characters you like, let's do something new.
And they are doing that, and it's very fascinating. Yeah. Not so much with Bruce, or with the two people that are supposed to be the most important, with Bruce.
Except the timeline.
I suppose.
He's doing it sooner.
Yeah, but Bruce, the least interesting characters they've got are Bruce and Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
Well, he's not Commissioner yet, but...
Yeah.
But all of the villains, basically, are pretty interesting. Yeah. And the stuff they're doing with them is actually kind of interesting, story-wise.
And I've heard that they're... I don't think they dislike... I think there's not enough of them. Donald Logue's character, the fat detective in Batman.
Oh, Harvey Bullock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hearing a lot of, like, they're not... People aren't happy with him, but I think they're not happy with him because he's, like, being underutilized or something. Because Donald Logue's fucking amazing. I love Donald
Logue. Oh, he's
Logue
good.
In
he's,
everything
he's really
in.
Good in it. I think they don't like the direction of the character. Okay. That's what they don't like. Okay. But he's fine. His acting's fine and all that.
Donald Logue, I mean, I haven't always liked the projects he's done. He's never done a bad job. Even as the fucking throwaway vampire in Blade. Like, Donald Logue's a brilliant actor. He's always been a brilliant actor. I really like him.
It's funny you were reading up on Legends of Tomorrow because it's out of all the CW shows, after Supergirl for specific reasons, I probably like that show.
Well,
more
and
than
it's
the
one that I was really interested. We did not watch The Flash. You know, I watched Arrow for a while. I was excited. Well, I was cautiously excited about Legends of Tomorrow, and I saw the pilot, and I was like, "Get the fuck out!" And I read the stuff. I still think, in the grand scheme, I'm happy with that decision.
Oh, it's a
Had
terrible
I
show.
Had I gotten
in a lot
into
of ways.
It, I would have gotten into it.
Yeah, it's a terrible show in a lot of ways, but I like the actors and I like their characters. The plots are for crap, but the actors are good. Their relationships are good.
And
it's fun
I
to
like
watch.
That they.
It's fun comic
they,
book fare.
And I mean, maybe the rest of the Arrowverse did this too better, but they have season arcs.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, they all do, but.
But I mean, come to, like, to a degree, there's a different villain each season, or at least a different problem.
More
and I'm like, more show. I mean, if we can't have what I really want, which is more like American Horror Story and shit like that, where it's just a self-contained story, and the next season is a different self-contained story, then what I want is this. I want an arc, a season and then another, so that I'm not always constantly, like, because too many shows, if you don't have that, there's a big mystery, and we're just literally never going to tell you what it is.
Well, and another thing about Legends of Tomorrow is because of the time travel conceit, which they don't overdo that.
No. But they bookend themselves pretty well.
Yeah, exactly.
They come up with woo-woo reasons why they can't do this. You're like, why the hell would
right.
you
do so this? When the season's over, I mean, you could almost start watching in the second or third season if you wanted. Because the time travel aspect has reset everything, and so now they're doing something completely different.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's fun.
And they play with the, if you can talk a different timelines version of somebody into something that can change what, like,
yeah.
there's a lot of, you run into, oh, this is just a younger version of you who got told this information, and so they went on a different path and stuff like that, and I'm like, I like that idea.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I feel like it probably gets unwieldy real fast.
Yeah.
But I like that idea.
They shy away from making it too complicated.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, that wouldn't work, but it doesn't matter because they move on to the next thing
so fast.
And
the problem is, this is all based on comic books, and comic books are the worst at all of this.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Comic book plots are fucking nuts. Comic book plots are soap opera plots that are slightly more complicated.
And sometimes not, I mean, have bigger holes than you would expect from written medium.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Over time, and it's late. And it's almost my bedtime, so get the fuck out of my house. We hope
happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, everybody. I hope you listen to this with your family, because I said fuck a lot, and that'll be funny. Just remember to sort of paraphrase Billy Connolly here. I was the one saying it, so I'm going to hell, not you. It's fine. You can tell your parents and your grandparents, like, it wasn't me. I would never say that word. Tony says it a lot, and I like him despite that. I'm going to leave you with this treat. Shortly before you showed up tonight, I discovered that insofar as people who correspond with other people on Twitter could be considered friends, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, one of my best friends in high school in Oregon, is apparently friends with one of my close friends from college in Iowa.
Just by coincidence.
Yes. Well, and by shared background, they are both involved in writing.
Oh.
One of them has published some stuff, and he writes a lot of short fiction that he's done a lot of things. And for a while, he was, I don't know if he still is, but he was on the editorial staff for some of the Escape Artist podcasts.
Oh.
And the other one in high school is, I think, an English teacher, but also he does a lot of voiceover work and is writing his own books as well.
Okay.
So I'm sure that's how they connected, but it was just funny. I was like, "Oh, he's talking." Wait, I don't follow him on Twitter. I didn't know he was on Twitter. I immediately recognized the picture. I'm like, "What? Wait, he knows him?" But for a second, it doesn't register because it's two friends of mine talking.
Yeah.
So that's not weird. And then I'm like, "Wait, two friends from completely different parts of my life." That's weird.
But worlds are colliding.
Exactly. I believe what I said was, "What a small Twitterverse." Oh, sphere. All right, people, go have a leftover sandwich. Are leftovers, Thanksgiving leftovers, weird for vegetarians? Because, like, we'll go back and make turkey sandwich. Do you go back and make, like, tofu sandwiches?
I do. That's tofurky sandwiches.
Tofurky sandwiches. Tofurky sandwiches sounds like the saddest improv troupe name ever.
Did you know my wife eats meat now?
No! That's awesome! We should hang out and eat meat. Is it, like, specific meat? Is it, like, righteous meat or shit like that? Or she's just like,
no,
fuck it, I just like dead animal flesh.
She won't eat pork or certain, you know.
Okay.
Like, kosher. She'll eat kosher meats.
Was it just because she loves it so much, or was it, like, an iron thing, or?
It's because we didn't know this, but you can't get vitamin A from non-meat sources. You can get beta-carotene from non-meat sources that your body converts into vitamin A. Well, some people are really bad at that.
All right.
And she's had her genes tested or whatever, so she could look that up. I mean, she was having symptoms of not having enough vitamin A. She looked it up. Sure enough, she can't process beta carotene very efficiently. Or she has a genetic profile where that might be a problem for her.
Okay.
So she said, well,
and she has a deficiency.
Yeah, I'm going to start eating meat. And it didn't fix everything, but it made her feel better, and it made some problems.
There are things like my sister was vegetarian, and she still is largely vegetarian because her husband is. But they also are very conscious of raising the kid that the kid gets to decide for herself.
Right.
But she switched back to eating meat sometimes when she was pregnant, because that became a thing. And I think that one was an iron.
It's been several months now, and this is the first Thanksgiving where she's going to eat turkey again, and she's actually kind of excited about it, which I'm glad, because when she first decided she was going to eat meat again, she felt a little guilty. And I said, don't feel guilty about that. Human beings eat meat. I'm the weirdo.
You are the weirdo.
You should never feel bad about that. So.
She and I should make a date, go to Taco Bell. That'd be awesome. All right, we'll pick you up at 7 later.
She's pretty picky about her meat, though.
Taco Bell. Who can be picky about Taco Bell?
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.